Baptist Church. We had a great day this morning, a great day on the bus. We did a raffle. We gave away 5 pounds of gummy bears in a jar. Whoever guessed closest to that number got the whole 5 pounds. How many gummy bears do you think are in 5 pounds? A four-year-old one. That's so not good. How many gummy bears do you think are in 5 pounds? No, not 2,800. Not that much. You cannot re-guess. You were on the bus. There were 627 after I ate about 14 or so. So it was 640 or so. So we had a good time, and hopefully they're not all gone already. Otherwise, we're in trouble. Let's stand for our first song this evening. Grab a hymnal. 451. Where could I go but to the Lord? 451. Stand as we sing. Grab a hymnal. 451. Where could I go but to the Lord? Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation's shore, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
All right, that's good singing. I like that song. It just kind of carries along, doesn't it? All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this evening. I pray that you bless now as we look at your word. I pray that you'd encourage us and strengthen us, correct us where we need it. We have the young people as they listen and the kids club. I pray that they would learn a lot. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can be seated there. It's good to have each and every one of you here tonight. And did anyone have trouble hearing this morning with the microphone? You can't hear me now, right? So you're like, huh? Okay. All right, we have the deaf section over here, the hard hearing section over here, and but we're doing okay, all right? I'll tell you a funny story, but I'm not going to do it. Thank you for joining us online. We're glad you're there. It's good to have folks visiting. We had several visitors this morning. It's good to have, I think it's Gabriella here tonight. We're glad you're here tonight. Thank you for coming. And then if you need a bulletin, raise your hand. We'll get that to you. All right. And a lot of announcements in our bulletin. We'll make those here in just a few minutes. What? Yeah, why don't you do that? Take a couple. Yeah, sure.
Let's take some favors tonight. If you got a favorite hymn, don't all go at once. With Wilbur. 100. Day by day. That's a good one. Hymn number 100. We'll sing the first and the last 100. Such powerful words to this song.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a father's hand, one by one the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Miss Tammy, 328. I want that mountain. 328. I want that mountain.
I saw the giant of prayerlessness upon the mountain high. He laughed so hard at my unbended knee. No longer in the wilderness I'll stay, and so I cry, I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Eshcol grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me. Let every giant of distress and unbelief and sin get ready now to vacate, for you see, I've come from out the wilderness, I know I'm going to win. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Eshcol grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me.
Mr. Carlson, had fun playing that one. Nettie. 106. Abide with me. I do know this. Abide with me. 106.
Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, so abide with me.
On the last,
hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. And morning breaks and earth's faint shadows sleep. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me.
All right, a few announcements. On Tuesday morning, we have a prayer meeting. It's at 8 o'clock. We meet over here at this door. And at 8:30, we pray. And then if you want to be here for soul winning, 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning, we have a great time. We had one man trust Christ as a Savior this week on Tuesday. And thank you for those who went. Then Wednesday at 7 o'clock, Wednesday evening Bible study and prayer meeting, we have our continue course that meets upstairs. We had several people graduate from our continue course this week, and we have others who will be graduating soon, so thank you, and finish strong. And then on Wednesday, we're looking at the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter number 6. Let's see, Saturday at 10 a.m. is our bus route and Sunday school visiting. Had a great day on the bus and the van this morning, so thank you for all of our bus workers, and thank you to those who go out on Saturday. And Saturday is also soul morning at 10 o'clock. A couple other things here. The Lundquist could use help moving boxes on Saturday, April the 20th. If you can help, I see Pastor Barnes. He will give you the information on that. And then our spring program is going along, we have our theme, Moving Forward. That's why we have moving boxes out there, and we have a great time with that. All of our classes have something different in them, and so we're growing. I'll be talking about that tonight. And so that goes through the 12th of May, which is Mother's Day, so Sunday school at 10 o'clock. Now, Mother's Day, May 12th, we're having Family Picture Day. So if you wanted to get your mother a nice gift, bring her to church. We can have a nice picture. If a mother would like to bring your children, that would be a great gift. And if you just want your picture taken, come, we'll get your picture taken. So that is on May the 12th. There's a men's conference in Loudoun, New Hampshire on the 27th. The information is back here on the bulletin board, 5 to 9. The cost is only $10 per person. They do a great job up there. We'll be taking the van. There's a senior pizza party on Saturday, April the 20th. That is for those who are 65 and older at 1 p.m. The cost is only $5. Sign up on the bulletin board. See Brother Jeff if you have any questions about that. I mentioned this morning to pray for the Ortiz family, Bible translators and missionaries to Nepal. Mrs. Ortiz had a stroke in Montana. They're in Montana now. She is in the intensive care unit. She'll be going into the long-term care facility here soon. So pray for that and their needs. Teen camp is June 24th through the 28th, and Vacation Bible School is July 15th through the 19th. We have a singing group coming on June the 16th. So a lot going on. And then also, men, if you're interested in a paintball activity, and Saturday, June 22nd would work, let me know. If it doesn't work, let me know. We're trying to make sure that we can accommodate, because we'd really like to blast you with paintball. So we want you to come, all right? So men's activity, okay, no ladies and no effeminate whiners that are going to squeal when it hurts, all right? Okay. All right. You want to take a couple more favorites, or what do you want to do? Okay, a couple more favorites.
Take two more. Justin. 134. My anchor holds. 134. 134.
Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful, for I know, wildly though the winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure. And it holds, my anchor holds, blow your wildest and all gale on my bark so small and frail. By His grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds, my anchor holds. Troubles almost whelm the soul, griefs like billows o'er me roll, tempters seek to lure astray, storms obscure the light of day, but in Christ I can be bold. I've an anchor that shall hold, and it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest and all gale on my bark so small and frail. By His grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds, my anchor holds.
Last one, Miss Stephanie. 335. If Jesus goes with me, stand as we sing this last song tonight. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 335. Stand as we sing. 335.
It may be in the valley where countless dangers hide. It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide. But this one thing I know, if it be dark or fair, if Jesus is with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, where'er I may be, if He is there. I count it a privilege here, His cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. It is not mine to question the judgments of my Lord. It is but mine to follow the leadings of His Word. But if to go or stay, or whether here or there, I'll be with my Savior, content anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, where'er I may be, if He is there. I count it a privilege here, His cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go
Amen. Thank you. 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. And we are going to look at the first 8 verses. 2 Peter chapter number 1. And verses 1 through 8. And let's stand, please, for the reading of Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. I'll begin at verse number 1 if you join me on the even-numbered verses through the 8th verse. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for the scripture. We thank you for allowing us to come here tonight on a Sunday night. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be strengthened and helped. Lord, I may your word go forth and do that which you've designed for it to accomplish. Lord, we pray for the people in Israel tonight. I pray that you would keep them safe. I pray that you would give them victory in this war. And Lord, I pray that you give them wisdom. And Lord, bless the service here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
When the race still lies before me, and the wind is blowing strong, when the witnesses surround me, and my strength is almost gone, when the valley plunges deeper, and life shatters all my dreams, then I lift my voice to Jesus, and he gives my spirit wings.
God gives wings.
God gives wings as he goes. God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above.
God gives wings.
God gives wings as he goes. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's wings.
Let us run the race with patience. Let us lay each weight aside. Looking only unto Jesus, he will be our faithful guide.
He has run the race before us. He has won the victor's crown. And he calls to every Christian, follow me to higher ground.
God gives wings.
God gives wings as he goes. God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. And my dreams began to crumble.
I mount up on eagle.
I mount up on eagles. I mount up on eagles' wings.
Amen. Thank you so much. We're here in 2 Peter chapter number 1, the first 8 verses. Peter writes this letter through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about 30 to 35 years after Calvary. I want you to notice two things right away. Notice in verse number 1, when he introduces himself, there's a lot of different ways he could do that. How does he introduce himself? What's his name? Simon Peter. Hey, we're glad you're here, Charles. Right on time. I don't know what clock you're on, but no, you're 24 minutes late. Okay, well, there you go. Okay, all right. Now flattery will get you everywhere. You're right on time. You're right on time. Now, I want you to be 25 minutes early next time. Okay, so just come 25 minutes early. Yeah, I know. I'm going to have you write that down and sign it. Is it raining out there? No, I just want to get the weather report. Okay, drizzling. Okay. It's not snowing, though. All right, pray for Brother Craig, too. He was in the hospital yesterday. So I think he's home. But pray for him. All right. We're glad to hear Charles. Now we can get started. Charles is here. Now, Peter introduces himself and he says, Simon Peter. Now, as you think about that, Simon is his name that it was given to him at birth. Okay? Now, when Jesus called him to serve him, he gave him a new name, right? Peter. Okay? Simon Bar-Jonah, right? He called them a lot of different things, right? I'm sure he had some interesting conversations. But Simon was his old name. And Jesus changed his name to Peter. But think about this. He never forgot who he used to be. Jesus used his name in Luke 22 when he said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. So he's kind of hearkening back to, you know, be careful because your old name is who you can revert to real easy. So he uses his old name and his new name, Simon Peter. You know, whenever the disciples are listed, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts, Peter is always listed first. Now, he didn't come first in order. He wasn't first in alphabetical order. He certainly was always out there in the front. Right? I was thinking about that this morning. I think we read a list of the disciples. I was watching poor Mrs. Cunningham's over there. And, you know, you go through like these 12 names, like just random names like and A and B and J and T. I'm sure it's interesting. I thought about that halfway through and I'm like, well, just keep going. Amen. It's too late. She's got her fingers. She does a good job. All right. But you think about the list of all the disciples. And Peter is always mentioned first, even when it mentions three, right? Peter, James, and John. It's always in that order. So Peter is always first. Now here Peter is showing his humility. Simon Peter. He says, you know, you could say a lot of things about Peter, but I want you to remember what I used to be. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Then he says, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. So even more here, his humility. Again, notice the order. You know, there were only 12 apostles. I mean, it's a really small group, very elite. And yet he says, a servant and an apostle. He doesn't come out of the box like, do you know who I am, right? I'm one of the 12. Do you understand when you get to heaven, there's going to be 12 foundations and my name's going to be on one of them. He could have said that, but he said, Simon Peter, okay, a failure who God, saved. And now I'm a servant and an apostle. You know, you wouldn't be an apostle if you weren't a servant, by the way. We're nothing unless we're a servant first. Jesus said, you want to know who the greatest is? And he washed his disciples' feet, didn't he? So don't forget that. Now, he talks about like precious faith in verse number 1. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. The like precious faith, he said, we've all received the same thing. So he's writing this letter to save people. And he says, you know, we have something in common. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different upbringings. We come from different cultures, maybe sometimes different countries, right? And different languages even. And yet we have one thing in common, and that is we're all saved by grace in Jesus Christ. You know, heaven's going to be an exciting place, right? I mean, there's going to be so many people there that they don't look like us. They don't, nothing in common. And yet we're all saved. We have that one thing in common. What a wonderful thing that is. And so he said, we have a like precious faith. We're all saved, going to heaven the same way. It's only through Jesus Christ. Verse number 2, it gives the order. Grace and peace. So it's always in that order. Grace is that which redeems the soul. And peace is received from God and journeys with us and enriches our life until we get to heaven. You can't have the peace of God without the grace of God. People are looking for peace. If I could only have peace. Well, it's not available until you find the grace of God first. Then peace is available. I led a man to Christ last Tuesday. I think, Adam, you were there. And I said, what's your last name? He said, Peace. I said, man, that's great. I showed him Romans 5:1. It's a good thing I just preached on it, right? I wouldn't have been able to find it. I said, look, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You just got saved, and he gave you peace. And so what a wonderful thing. But peace is available when grace is received, when salvation is received. So the more we get to know God, the more grace and peace is multiplied unto us. Did you see that? He said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. and Jesus Christ our Lord. The more you know God, the more you have peace and grace multiplied in your life. You know, some people just get a little bit, they get saved, that's good. And then they don't really get to know God. And they wonder why they can go through life and they don't have the peace that's available. Peace and grace is multiplied when you know God and you know Christ. Some Christians have obtained like precious faith, but are missing out on the great benefits available through the knowledge of God. When you get to know God, you'll have a peace that God can give you that man can't give you. I was thinking, well, I'll get into that a little bit, maybe. Okay. When you get saved, God knows you. Doesn't he say to lost people, depart from me, I never knew you? So when you get saved, God knows you. When you get serious, you know God. When you get saved, God knows you. And God knows all the saved people. But some saved people don't really know God. They don't have a knowledge of God. They don't invest in knowing God. They don't spend the time and the effort. And it takes effort. And we'll look at that in just a minute. When you get serious, you know God. A boy was talking to his parents one day. And he said to them, he said, I know God's name. And they said, really? What is God's name? He said, his name is Andy. I said, Andy? Yeah, we sing that song at church. Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me. Do you know God? When you get serious enough to know God, he will multiply grace and peace. You know, I was thinking about that. I thought, grace is to life what oil is to a machine. You know, if you don't put oil in a machine, it'll run for a little while and then it'll burn up. Kind of like a lawnmower, Dad. You remember that? Yes. The statute of limitations has run out on that too, right? If you don't put oil in the lawnmower, pretty soon it goes clunk and nothing happens. And you can put oil in it after, but it doesn't do any good, right? And so you have the machinery that goes, but you have to have, they have grease fittings, right? They have steel bearings nowadays, but we used to run a big buzzsaw and cut up all our firewood, and there was these two little cups on either end of the spindle, and they had like string in them. And every, I don't know, hour, you'd go over and take a big oil can, and you'd squirt oil in there. Because if that spindle is spinning around in that, mechanism there, and it doesn't have oil, it's going to burn up. If you don't have the grace of God with the circumstances of life, you're going to have a really hard time. No wonder people, do what they do. They don't have the grace of God. Grace is to life what oil is to machine. Peace makes hardships possible. Now keep your place here, but look at Philippians chapter 4. I'm still hoping I get to Ephesians tonight, okay? Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter number 4. And verse number 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6 and verse number 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I mentioned this a little bit last week, I think, but let me just say this. Peace makes hardships possible. How else are you and I going to make it through this veil of tears without the peace of God? How else are you and I going to make it through the troubles and the trials and the tribulations and the valley of the shadow of death without the peace of God? Jesus said that he would go with us through the valley of the shadow of death in Psalms chapter 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He doesn't remove us from it. He puts his presence with us while we're in it, while we're going through it. That's what we need. We need the grace and the peace of God. We need to have the scripture in our meditations. How are we going to get to know God? You can't know him if you don't read your Bible. How are you going to get to know God? You can't know him with only a casual reading of the Bible. We're not going to get to know God unless we immerse ourselves in this book. We ought to think about his word. We ought to meditate on his word. We ought to memorize his word. We ought to have it readily available to us. We ought to have it everywhere we are, his word. We ought to have it playing on our phone. We ought to have it playing on our car when we drive around. We ought to have it, you know, everywhere we are. We read it in the morning. Read it in that night. Have it on your nightstand. Think about it. Meditate on it. Make your decisions based on it. Look at verse number 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Here's our equipping and here's our calling. As we looked at verse number 1 and 2, we found that God and Jesus are linked together. As we look at verse number 3, we find His power gives us everything that we need. Everything that we need for life is supplied through God and His power. Everything that we need for living, everything that's worth living, everything that we need for godliness, living a life for God. We ought to live a life, the Bible says here, for His glory and for virtue. I'll talk about virtue here in just a minute. It's one of our words. I read a little news article. Maybe you saw it. I never heard of the guy before, but there's a golfer. I guess he's famous. I'm going to play golf one of these days. Anybody play golf? Okay. No, anybody? All right. I'm still going to play golf. You play golf? Let's go play golf someday, okay? All right. I can get the ball in the clown's nose at the end once in a while, right? I think that's the other kind of golf. But so there's a famous golfer. His name is Scottie Scheffler. He's the number one golfer in the world right now. I think he's been that way for 2 years. Anybody ever hear of him? Okay, okay, a couple of you, okay? He said this: I hope golf doesn't define me too much. I believe in creation, I believe in the Creator, and I believe in Jesus Christ. I don't know this whole testimony, but I thought that was pretty good. He said, I don't want to be defined by golf too much. Golf is just something I do. It's not who I am. I'm a Christian. That's a pretty good start. I don't know too much about the guy, but you know, if you say something like that, it says a lot about you. Are we defined by our relationship with Christ? Or are we defined by what else we do, right? Notice verse number 4. Talks about our divine nature, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have the divine nature now. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, and every line. Every promise is mine now. I can partake in the Christian life like a feast. We can partake in the Christian life. Everything that is good and godly, God has available for His children. Now, look at what we miss. What do we miss? Corruption. Right? Verse number 4. The corruption that is in this world. Sin thrills, then sin kills. How many would love to have what we have? I mean, really. You meet people and they're in a desperate situation. You try to help them. You give them the good news. Jesus can save you. He can change your life. But how many people would love to be on their way to heaven and knowing it? You know, I walked through the hospital a couple of times this week and you just see people in there and they're just in bad shape. They don't even know where they are, some of them. And you just think, you know, where are they going? What's going to happen after they die? I have heaven. I have hope. And in this life, I can have happiness. Happiness is available to a Christian. Now, verse number 5 is our thought here for the message. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Verse number 5 tells us that we are to give all diligence. What does that mean? It means to work hard. To grow as a Christian, we need to give all diligence. To grow as a Christian, we're going to have to work at it. You know, we work at so many other things, don't we? And then sometimes we stop working and we kind of plateau because we're like, you know what? I already have a education path. I have a career path. You know, I'm married. I've got children. You know, just kind of just don't rock the boat, right? Just kind of maintain. As a Christian, we should just be pressing on the upward way. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now, it gives us things to add. I call this a value-added faith. Faith in Jesus Christ takes us to heaven. Did you ever see a locomotive just kind of going down the tracks and it's just kind of all by itself? It has no freight. You know, they don't make those locomotives to just drive around. They're kind of like the guy on the tractor this morning, right? They make those locomotives to haul freight. So they hook 1, 2, 3, 4. Right? How many of you used to live where there were trains, right? Yes, yes, trains. Oh, thank God there aren't trains in New Hampshire, all right? I think I waited for a train once, okay, in 33 years of living here once. That's good. I hope that doesn't change. But you know, when I lived in Michigan, there were trains all the time. They hauled those iron ore pellets. Boy, they made good slingshot marbles. I never had to buy marbles. And we always had those around, hematite, taquinite, whatever they were. And then in Indiana, oh my soul, the trains everywhere. Trains behind the house, trains in the middle of the night, trains at 2 o'clock in the morning, trains when you go to the store. Trains, oh, help me. I never want to see another train. But, you know, the trains, they hook them all together, and then they haul cars. And it's not unusual to have a 100-car freight train that you have to wait for when you're late to work, right? It's not unusual. And you count, after a while, you count them, okay? So you learn, like, oh, what else am I going to do, right? I can get mad. This was before they had cell phones, okay? So you couldn't play, I don't know, whatever those stupid games are, right? My wife goes to the grocery store or something, and I get, like, 14, like, search words, right? At first, she goes, you want to play search a word? Then she beat me every time. And I'm like, I don't want to play search a word anymore. Okay? I don't know what it was. Some kind of game. She always wins. And I was like, I don't want to play that game. But, you know, you see, you count the cars. You're like, 1, 2, 3, 4. And they got cars in there. And they have lumber in there. And they have propane tanks in there. Especially if you live in Ohio, right? They have chemicals in there. And you count them. Where's Pete Buttigieg when you need him, right? And I don't know what his name is. And just, you're counting these cars, and after a while, you're like, oh, my soul. But see, the idea is the locomotive would be your faith. Add to your faith, okay? God didn't just save you so you could drive around like the locomotive and show off and toot your horn and belch, you know, black smoke up in the air and let everybody know how powerful you are and how much horsepower you have. God saved you so you could add to your faith. So you could pull some freight for him between now and when you get to heaven. That's the idea. So, did you ever get a car and it was a base model car? Okay. Now, for some of you, you're not going to understand this. Okay. Back in the 70s, if you got a base model car, it had a stick shift. Right? Okay. Now it's an anti-theft device because millennials can't drive them. That's kind of nice. I won't ask for a show of hands, okay? but back when you bought a base model car, it had a stick shift and it had crank windows. I know some of you are saying, what are crank, not cranks with the windows. Crank windows. I mean, you had to wind those windows down. And no air conditioning. Vinyl seats. Okay, do I have a witness? Those are hot in the summer. No power steering. Yes. You had the Volare, right? Didn't you? Your dad's truck. Hey, Dad. Good job. Okay? Take it to the inspection. Did you take your driver's ed on that truck? No? Look, when you first start driving a stick shift, you learn how to get around all the stoplights in town by driving 4 miles, like my mom used to do, right? We drive like 4 miles out of the way. I'm like, why are we going to the Red Owl 4 miles out of the way? Because there's a hill, right? And I get stuck on the hill at the red light, and then you roll back down and you crash into the guy behind you, right? Okay. So you get a base model car, has rack and pinion steering, right? has wind-down windows, right? Has vinyl seats, has no air conditioning, has a stick shift. It gets you from point A to point B. Now, you wouldn't believe what they have in cars. I mean, they have electric seats. They have air conditioning. They have climate control. I mean, they have, like, it memorizes your seat, right? I mean, they have cars that have heated seats and air-conditioned seats, and they'll park for you. I've never been in one of those, but they'll parallel park. They still won't do as good as I used to do, but they'll parallel park for you. They have cars that drive themselves, right? I mean, they do. And, I mean, they have all kinds of cars. Now, sometimes we come to Christianity with that base model, and we say, well, you know, it's good enough. I'll just crank down the windows and sweat in the summer and drive the stick shift, right? And God says, look, I don't want you to have just a base model. Base model will take you to heaven. You'll be saved, yet so as by fire. I want you to have an added value faith, a value-added faith. Okay, I want you to supersize that thing. Okay, now I'll get that on your level. Okay, so I want you to grow. The train has a purpose to pull freight. A car, it's more comfortable. You do more when you have more options. An overcoming Christian versus a lazy one. Now think about that. This is what we're going to look at here. An overcoming Christian versus a lazy one. A lazy Christian is kind of like Charlie Brown when he used to take his homework and put it under his pillow at night and hope it seeped into his head. Okay? That doesn't work. You're not going to learn the Bible by putting it under your pillow and having it seep into your head while you're sleeping. Okay? That's not going to work. You're not going to learn the Bible just by hearing it preached. You're not going to learn the Bible just by going to Sunday school. Now, those are supplemental things. You ought to do that. But you're going to have diligence. You're going to have to read it. You're going to have to dig into it. You're going to have to study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Boy, the Bible is rich, isn't it? I learned several things this week from the Bible. But there are no shortcuts. Think about this. At your career path, okay? So whatever you're doing for a career, okay? You would never have been successful by giving it half an effort. You'd never be successful by giving it half an effort. Would you have someone work on your car who didn't know what an axle was? So you go to the shop and you tell the mechanic, hey, I think my axle is like falling apart over here on the left-hand side. And he's like, what's an axle? You're like, never mind, I'm going to keep driving, right? You wouldn't have somebody work on your car that didn't know what a spark plug was, right? I think my spark plugs need to be changed. My timing belt needs to, the serpentine belt, right? It just threw itself off there. What do you mean? I don't know what that, let me get my necktie out, right? I don't know what it is. I need a battery. You know, I had a car one time, my last car, the battery, I looked and looked and looked and looked and looked for that thing. Buick LeSabre. You know where it was? It was under the back seat. I mean, you had to take the, remember that? You had one too. You had to take the back seat apart to have jumper cables, right? Or change the battery. That's ridiculous, right? But can you imagine working on a car and somebody says, well, I don't know what a battery is. What is it? Or, you know, what is a fan belt? I don't know. Nothing. Then the only thing. No, you wouldn't do that. We need to be a Christian who's not lazy. We need to understand what the Bible's teaching, who God is, what He's trying to teach us. You don't become an electrician, okay? I've tried this. You don't become an electrician by reading a book, okay? Brother Mike, I love you. All right, shut up. Okay, yes. You pull the wire, right? Hook it up. The black one goes here. The white one goes here. The green one goes there. And I don't know what the red one is for. Just cut it off. Well, that's going to be a great idea, right? Why doesn't the switch work? Why did the house catch on fire? I read a book, right? I thought I knew what I was doing. You wouldn't want a doctor who didn't go to school. You wouldn't want a doctor who didn't know what he or she was doing. Well, I think it could be, and it might be that. And I saw this one time, and I read this, and I heard about that. Let's just cut that off and see what happens. Oh, okay. No. You wouldn't want a plumber who's a plumber because he can flush a toilet. Oh, I flushed a toilet before. Look, I could be a plumber. I can sweat pipes and, you know, put solder on copper, but I'm not a plumber. I can fix a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I can get, Brother Jackson does shark bite and pecs. I don't even know how to do that. I did it once. I think it's still okay, but somewhere. Sold the house, so I'm not worried about it. Now, I'm not a plumber. Now, giving all diligence. Do you smell food down there? Are they cooking? Oh, let's pray. We're going to go eat. Dear Lord. Giving all diligence is hard work. To be an overcoming Christian, you have to die daily. Now, here's the sermon, just quickly. There are seven things that we are commanded to add. We're saved without them, but we cannot be successful without them. We're saved when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and ask Him to take us to heaven. We're trusting His death, His burial, and His resurrection. The shed blood on Calvary is our only way of getting to heaven. We ask Christ to save our soul. He said, okay, you have faith. That's the foundation. You've got the basic model. You've got the locomotive now. Now let's put some freight on it. Add to your faith. Let's put some options on the car. Okay, let's get some purpose to your life. What's your purpose? Your purpose is not only to go to heaven. That's God's purpose for you. Now, God's purpose for you also is that you do something while you're here. Otherwise, he just would have raptured you right now as soon as you trusted Christ, right? Add to your faith. We cannot be successful without these things. We will not have a blessed life without them. I'm reminded of Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Boy, that chapter is kind of drilled in our heads, isn't it? Psalm chapter number 1. I love that psalm. It tells about the blessed man. The Christian life can be a blessing, but it's past just salvation and just faith. We need to add to our faith. We will not be a good testimony without these things, and we will not be and cannot be a powerful and effective witness for Jesus Christ if we do not have these ingredients in our life. Add to your faith. Let's read the list. Verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, it's going to be hard work, but it's worth it. You know, anything worth having is worth working for. Anything worth having is worth striving for. It's work. It's going to take diligence, just like your career, just like anything. It's like school. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue what? Knowledge, and to knowledge what? Temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. Virtue, number one. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue is pure, wholesome goodness all the way through, from the beginning all the way to the end. Add to your faith virtue. You know, as a Christian, you ought to have a life of virtue. Everything about you ought to be virtuous. It's godly, dedicated, day-to-day living. It's laying aside the things of this world. You can't be a successful Christian. I can't be a successful Christian without laying aside the things of this world. Every sin, every weight. You can't live in the world and live for the Lord at the same time. You can't live for the Lord and have a thought life that is not virtuous. You will quit one or the other. You can't live for the Lord and have a speech that is not virtuous. You can't live for the Lord and have a heart that is thinking about things and evil deeds. You can't do it. You won't do it. Add to your faith virtue. Why? So you can live for God, so you can be a testimony, so you can obey. It's a command, by the way. It's not an option. Okay, these are not options on the Christian life. Well, let me see. I'm going to take, you know, one of those and I'm going to leave that behind. No, add to your faith all these seven things. All of us are supposed to add them, okay? If I had a train car up here, we'd hook them together, right? Okay, so it's laying aside the things of this world and having pure, wholesome goodness from the beginning all the way through our life, everywhere. Number two, knowledge. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is not the knowledge of man. We can learn a lot of things. Knowledge, the Bible says knowledge puffeth up, actually. We can learn a lot of things, man's wisdom, man's knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 19. Chapter 3, verse number 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. So it's not the wisdom of this world, it's the knowledge of the holy. How do you get the knowledge of the Holy? How in the world can you get the mind of God? You've got to study the Scriptures. I can't say enough. I've said it two or three times tonight. You've got to get in the Bible. You've got to let the Bible get into you, and you've got to let it permeate your thinking. You've got to let it dictate your actions. You have to let it be your speech and your thoughts and your actions and your motives everywhere. I was reading an article this week, and it was talking about the FBI and the CIA. It was talking about how they were doing some like covert things, and they were trying to get some fringe people to do some crazy stuff, and I think it worked, right? And what the one guy said was, he said, you know what we do? We profile people, and we try to figure out, you know, who's right there on the edge, right? And then we fill them up with all this information, and then he said, use this word. He said, we give them a nudge, right? We nudge them. And what did he do? Do something stupid, right? Maybe they threatened to kidnap the governor of Michigan or something. Remember that one, right? They found a bunch of people who kind of put a bunch of ideas in their head. Then they gave them a nudge, right? And sure enough, then they go ahead and say they're going to do something, right? And they shouldn't. Then they get in trouble. So what happens to you when you get a nudge, right? The devil comes by and says, you know what? I'm going to nudge that person. Listen, if you have a life of virtue and the knowledge of God, when you get nudged, you're not going to go the wrong way. You're going to say, look, as much as that appeals to my flesh, the Holy Spirit says no. As much as that appeals to my, my desire, whatever, God said, absolutely not. I've got to be constrained by this book right here. Virtue, knowledge. Number three, temperance. Verse number six is temperance. It is self-control. Yes, temperance for alcohol. We shouldn't touch it. We shouldn't look on it. But also temperance means self-control. It means our mind, our bodies, our eyes, and our tongue ought to have temperance. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, self-control. And the temperance, patience. Patience has to be properly cultivated. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter number 5. Now, this is a tough one. You know, I think that's why maybe it's listed later in the list, right? if we look, truthfully, if we got this one first, some people couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle it. If you don't work on the virtue and the knowledge and the temperance, when you get to the patience, we say, well, that sounds like an easy one. Well, let's see how we get patience. Romans 5, verse number 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. God, I need patience. And God says, okay, here's some tribulation. Here's some sickness. Here's disease, right? Here's a loved one struggling. Here's death, right? Here's sorrow. Here's heartache. Oh, please, Lord, I didn't ask for that. But you ask for patience. What do you think if that was first? Add to your faith patience. We just get saved and then boom, the whole bottom falls out. That might be rough. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. Tribulation worketh patience. Look at James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. And look at verse number 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Patience has to be cultivated. How do we get that? By enduring trials. By going through your trials with a Christ-like spirit and faith. Is that easy to do? No, I don't like doing that any more than anybody else likes doing. I probably like it less. Patience. Let's look at one more verse. Look at James chapter 5 and verse number 11. James 5, verse number 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. Well, what's Job known for? Trials, right? The trials of Job. But it says, you have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen that the end of the Lord, that the Lord is pitiful and of tender mercy. We count them happy which endure. Well, I wouldn't put Job down as happy, but at the end of his life, God blessed him. The names that he named his daughters are powerful, if you ever study that. Powerful names to the testimony of a man who had a great faith in God. How did he get that? He endured trials. He endured testing. He endured tribulation. He endured temptation. And he came through on the other side. Add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. Patience comes through tribulation. Look at one more verse. 1 Timothy 6, verse number 6. 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment. Next verse is good too. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Godliness with contentment. Patience is being content. Even though I have trials, even though I have problems, even though I'm suffering and going through pain and sorrow, to have patience. Godliness. The next word, number five, godliness. What is that? It means to be like Jesus. Add to your faith, temperance. Add to your faith, knowledge. Add to your faith, virtue. Add to your faith, patience. Add to your faith, what? Godliness. To be like Jesus is to be humble. To be like Jesus is to be obedient to our Heavenly Father. To be like Jesus is living for others. He spent his life living for others. To be like Jesus is to be sacrificial and denying self. Godliness. Number six, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Here's Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verse number 32 says, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us," right? So we are to be like Jesus. We are to have brotherly kindness. What does that mean? It means not harsh, not unkind, not rude, not angry or malicious. You know, we live in a rude society. People are rewarded for being rude. People get likes and shares for being rude and malicious. I mean, they prey on people these days. And God says, no, you need brotherly kindness. The whole world's doing it. A Christian's supposed to have brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness means not having any bitterness in our heart. And brotherly kindness means actively doing good. Brotherly kindness. You know, a few years ago, I remember one time, somebody was playing a little game. And I never played that game before, but it was pretty good. I pulled in the Dunkin' Donuts, and the clerk said, "Somebody paid for your food." And I'm like, "What? Ever happened to you?" Right? I think Brother Jackson, you had a thing going one time, right? Somebody paid for your food. And then I guess you're supposed to pay for the next person. So I never played the game before. Next time I will, right? Like, I'll say, "Hey, what are you ordering back there?" Right? I only got $5, right? But, you know, I drove away and I thought, I don't even know who did that, right? I don't even know what that was all about. I got a coffee for free, right? That was pretty good. Brotherly kindness. I don't know if it was a Monday, too. It really blessed me, right? But I thought, you know, that's nice. But people do nice things, right? I was in a restaurant one time, and a police officer was there, and somebody paid for the police officer's meal. And I thought, you know, that's nice. That's brotherly kindness. That's what people should do. You know, they're under attack all the time, and people, you know, say all these mean and awful, terrible things. And somebody paid for their meal. And I thought, boy, that's appreciation. We need more of that. Brotherly kindness. But certainly being kind to each other. Number seven, charity. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Charity, 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. We have a whole chapter here on charity. Charity is more than love. I know these modern perversions like to change the word charity to love. But love is very low key compared to charity. Charity is Christian love in action. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. "And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity." It's interesting. This is the last one. We add to our faith virtue. You can't have anything else without that one. And you get it by knowledge, knowing God, temperance, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and now charity, Christian love in action. Everything that God loves, we are to love. And everyone that God loves, we are to love. Boy, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to add these seven things onto my faith. I'm saved. I got the base model. I got four wheels. Now, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to add to my faith all these seven things. And it's a constant thing. We're constantly working on those things. We're constantly replacing those things as they fall off, right? We're constantly, making those things stronger as the day goes on, as trials and tribulations come. And I hope that you'll add to your faith these seven things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening.